Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today we're going to continue our series that we've been doing every once in a while here on the journeys of Paul, particularly his second missionary journey, although he does revisit these places on his third journey, but that's neither here nor there. Really, he gets to there for the first time on his second missionary journey. And today, the city we're going to talk about is modern-day Thessaloniki, which we Westerners here in the United States talk about as Thessalonica. That's where Paul went as part of his second missionary journey. So let's first begin by taking a look at the map to see where Paul's going. Again, a reminder, as he began that journey, that Paul walked over just a mountainous terrain in Turkey and wound up on the western edge of Asia in Troas. And there on Troas, on the western shores of the modern-day Turkey, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia, in Greece, in Europe, calling to him to come over and help us. And so Paul got on the next ship along with Luke, the author of the book of Acts, and they sailed for Samothrace, an island, and then the next day they left and came to Neapolis, which is modern day Kavala, and then went right to Philippi. And we talked about that in another episode of the podcast. Again, these are all you can go back and check all these out on the on our YouTube channel, Eagles on the Hill, and you can search for Paul's missionary journeys there and in Greece and check out all those journeys. In any case, Paul winds up leaving Philippi after being beaten and imprisoned there. He's escorted out to the edge of the city along the Via Ignatia and winds up in Thessalonica. Let's take a look for just a moment at the Via Ignatia and the different major stops along the way. You'll notice right in the middle of the map, if you're looking at the map on YouTube, there's Thessaloniki. And that is marked by a green dot. Go to the right, one green dot, and then go another green dot, that's Philippi. So Paul leaves Philippi and goes to Thessalonica. Today we'll call it Thessalonica. He passes that one green dot, and that other green dot is Amphipolis. We'll talk about that in a moment, and he winds up in Thessalonica. That's where we're going to pick up the story today. So let's take a look at the scriptures, and we'll see what happens here. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. So Paul's following the Roman road, the Via Ignatia, and he passes through, particularly I want to highlight Amphipolis, because that was the capital city of that province. He passes through there. Why does he pass through there? Well, we get a clue at the end of the verse. Paul and his companions pass through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they come to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. So Paul is going to places where he can preach to Jews first. There were no Jews in Amphipolis. Paul had found some Jews in Philippi, if you remember that story. Not a synagogue. There wasn't enough Jewish men to have a synagogue, but they were down by the river meeting for the Sabbath, and so he found the Jews there. Amphipolis, apparently no Jews, because he goes to Thessalonica to get into the Jewish synagogue. We do not know where that synagogue is today. It has not been located. As was his custom, well, let's talk about Thessalonica for a minute in terms of what kind of town it was. It was a city, we believe, in Paul's day of about 200,000. So significant size. It was a significant seaport and also a T-intersection of the road that led north from the Via Ignatia that led north. So a lot of traffic going through Thessalonica because of those Roman roads there. All right, verse 2. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. We'll take a look at that in a minute. formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, these men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. They made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And we'll continue with that in the podcast that we do about Berea in a little bit. So check that out at that time. So that's what the scriptures say about Paul's time in Thessalonica. Let's go back and take a look, if we can, at some of the ruins of Thessalonica. This is the what's called the marketplace. And the marketplace, again, that's how we translate it. It's actually agora. And the agora, as described in other times and places, is really more like the city square of New England, where there's, well, in New England, there wouldn't be temples to other gods, but there'd be churches there, the congregational churches typically spilled out onto the town square. But there'd be a lot of different temples, the different gods, small temples, big temples, altars for sacrifice, etc. There would be places to buy and sell, and so that's why the translation is marketplace. There'd also be theaters around and that kind of thing. The location of this agora in Thessalonica is such that the agora is in large part not excavated. And so we only see a little piece of it here on the screen. Here's another shot of it. And in this particular picture, you see all the grass in the picture. The agora lies underneath that grass. In addition, what you can see on the left, from the bottom right all the way over to the left-hand side of this picture here, is an underground marketplace. That road, by the way, is not the Via Ignatia, if you're wondering. That's just a road that goes along the marketplace, but this is all underground, supported by those arches that you see in the picture. So you could go underground and shop or do whatever else they had down there. Get your pizza, whatever you might want to get. But the agora goes out much larger than this, but it's not excavated because of the roads that are surrounding it, because of the apartment buildings and condominiums and things that surround it. So we really don't have a good view of the agora in Thessalonica, but we know that it must have been much larger because the city had about 200,000 residents at that time. Here's a shot of a very small theater that lies, let's see, this I believe would be the eastern end of the agora, but very small, and obviously because of its size compared to the size of the city, it would not be the only theater in the city. This was just a small theater at the end of the agora there. If you go south from the agora, you wind up at really what would be in some ways the modern agora of Thessalonica. It's called Aristotle Square. And a huge square with great restaurants along each side and up, and it goes right up to the waterfront, and there's a big walkway along the waterfront, like the boardwalks. Well, it's not a boardwalk, it's concrete and some marble mixed in, but along the waterfront there in Thessalonica, kind of like the boardwalks you'd see that I'm familiar with on the Atlantic coast in New Jersey and that kind of thing. So it's a beautiful area, and you can even, there's a great pirate ship that you can ride for 45 minutes or so out into the Aegean just to get a view of Thessalonica from the pirate ship. I don't know how many pirate ships were there back in the day that looked like this. It looks like a pirate ship from the Caribbean. But nevertheless, it's there, and you can take a 45-minute ride on that and buy a drink and see the city from the sea. In any case, that's what happened in Thessalonica. That was what Thessalonica was like in Paul's day. And Paul was taken. They had this riot, and it occurred, as the scripture said, in the agora. And so you can see where that is and get a sense of that. Other than that, like I said, we don't know where the synagogue was, in particular in Thessalonica, which would really be cool to see. Be great if we knew where that was, but we don't. But we have some sense of what the city is like and what Paul did there. Paul left Thessalonica and went to Berea. Let's just kind of track this out a little bit, and we'll see where 1st and 2nd Thessalonians come in the scriptures. So Paul leaves Thessalonica, goes to Berea along the Via Ignatia. The Thessalonian Jews follow him there and wind up creating trouble. Paul leaves Berea, goes down to the coast, and sails down to Athens. We covered Athens in another podcast, so you can check that out. Again, on the Eagles on the Hill YouTube channel under the Journeys of Paul in Greece playlist. But Paul sails down to Athens, winds up in Corinth, and stays in Corinth for 18 months. And it's while Paul is in Corinth that he writes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So if you're tracking this, what that means is that 1st and 2nd Thessalonians were written about 51-52 AD, which makes them potentially the earliest books of the New... Let's see, how do I say this? The books of the New Testament that were written the earliest. In other words, other writings of Paul or others might exist, but we don't have them. The earliest writings of Paul we have are 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. They are the earliest books of the New Testament that were written. So they're precious books to us as followers of Jesus. In both of those books, it seems like a key issue for those Christians, new believers in Thessalonica, was the return of Jesus. Specifically, a couple of things. One, believing that when a Christian dies, that then they will miss the return of Jesus. And Paul has to deal with that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's a beautiful passage. Check it out. Starting at verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18, where Paul deals with the question of, will our loved ones that have died miss the return of Jesus? And Paul says, of course not, that in fact they will be the first ones to see Jesus in his return, and that Jesus will give them their resurrected bodies, and they will come back with him to the judgment seat, to the Bema seat. Bema seats were in each of the agoras in ancient times. They were the place of judgment. So that's the image that's used, as Jesus will return to the Bema seat there for the place of judgment. But he'll bring with him those who have died in Christ. And so they will not miss the return of Jesus. Then in 2 Thessalonians, written about 6 months or so later, Paul receives word of some more confusion that the Thessalonian Christians have about the return of Jesus, and specifically about the Antichrist. And so Paul writes to them in 2 Thessalonians about that. So lots of concern, as you would imagine, early on in the church about the return of Christ. Now, this is within 20 years of the crucifixion and resurrection, so very early books. And there was the sense among the early Christians, even from the book of Acts, we see it in Acts chapter 2, that Jesus would return any day, which we have that same sense, but we know we're not surprised any longer if it's, you know, not tomorrow or not today, because we know it's been almost 2,000 years now, so we know it could be a while. Those early Christians really didn't have that time perspective, and so they really had the sense that Jesus was coming back any day now. And you can see that in the book of Acts chapter 2, as the early Christians start selling off their possessions and quitting their jobs and wind up extremely poor. But you also see it reflected in the concerns of the Christians in Thessalonica, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, written from the city of Corinth, which we'll do in another podcast as well as we continue these Journeys of Paul podcasts. That's what we got for you today. We encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you learned from this podcast, what you'd like to learn from future podcasts. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for being part of this podcast family.